Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Former Ohio State Buckeye. I shouldn't say former Ohio State Buckeye, right, Ben? Ben Hartsock with us. You can't. Are you ever really a former Buckeye? You're always a Buckeye, right?
I think the term that the NFL has trained us, we're now legends. You know, you take, instead of saying has been, you give it a cool name. And you say something like legends, and we all feel better about that. So I think I'm a Buckeye legend at this point.
All right, here's what I got to know, and I agree with that. And here's what I got to know. Are you one of the guys, because Dustin, I think it's silly, but I didn't grow up as part of the rivalry. Dustin agrees with me that it's silly, even though he was a part of it. The thing that people are doing now, like on social media and stuff, where they put the red X in to replace all the M's in their name or their handles or whatever that. Are you on board with that, or do you think that's a little silly?
I love it. I love it. I'm here for it.
You are.
I'm not going to participate because I don't have – one, I don't even know how to find that X. I'm not sure what part of the keyboard section it's in. But I love college football pettiness. Is ultimately one of the fabrics, one of the cornerstones of college sports that I love it. I love when Devin Bush last year was scraping out the Michigan State sign, and I love the death march they did last. I love all of it. I love David Boston fist punching Charles Woodson in the face. You know, I love it all.
So let me ask you this: why is it that college football rivalries are so much better than NFL rivalries, in your opinion?
Okay, I have a theory on this.
Okay.
This is my theory. College sports are our country's way of settling, like, state differences, right? Like we allow, as Ohioans, the outcome of the Ohio State and Michigan to quell any such tension that otherwise we would maybe invade Michigan, right? Like, Florida, Georgia... The states have decided we will accept the outcome of this battle to settle any, you know, beefs we have with each other as a state. And ultimately, what I'm saying is college sports is quelling civil war. That's basically what I'm saying.
I like that. I mean, that's a real positive attitude. We don't need a civil war. Yeah, there's a lot of anger right now. And if college football can make us all less angry, that's a great thing. I'm going with your theory. I'm gonna continue on with that forever, and maybe eventually I'll pretend I came up with it. No, I won't. I'll give you full credit.
Funny. What's another part of this that's so great is it's been going on for so long. My neighbor moved to his house. Not an Ohio State fan. Gave me in his basement a picture of Woody Hayes that looked like from the 70s, the mid 70s. And right. It was just a picture of Woody Hayes, a poster you would put in your garage or your office or something. But down at the bottom, it's Woody Hayes, and it just has this tagline. It says Michigan. And it said, a part of Ohio that nobody wanted. And I was like, that's great, because in the era of shade and gifts and memes, you know, that's like the fabric of what we are in 2019. They were still doing it back in the 70s. Yeah. They just had to do like physical printouts to put into people's offices and in hallways, and I love it.
We're talking about Ben Hartsock, longtime NFL player, Buckeye. We got the big game this weekend, of course. You know, Ben, from a local standpoint, an Ohio-Michigan standpoint, this rivalry will always be the biggest. I think it's the best rivalry in college sports, even though, again, I didn't grow up with it. However, I wonder if, from a national perspective, for neutral observers of the game, has it lost a little of its steam because Ohio State has dominated for two decades?
Well, yeah. I mean, the rivalry has to matter from a national scale to keep everyone interested. But like you say, this rivalry has been elevated to the truly elite status that even when it doesn't matter, it still matters. But the reality is, yes, you have to have these games be of national implications. And ultimately, this game doesn't really, from a national, if Ohio State loses this game, all it becomes is the Big Ten championship becomes a must win for Ohio State to get in. But if Michigan would have figured out a way to play the first half of the Penn State game the way they played the second and not lost that game, this game is of biblical proportions in its magnitude on the national stage. And that just, it's not just a linear increase in its importance nationally. It's like exponential, and we will have been talking about it even more than we already are.
100% right. We it feels in a way that Ohio State is going to definitely win the game. But as we know, in this rivalry, there's been big upsets before, including last year when everybody was convinced that Michigan was finally going to end the losing streak and win, and Ohio State dominated the game. The game is at Michigan, so obviously that gives them a better chance. The point spread's about 10 or so, so that's not, you know, an absurd number. What does Michigan have to do to pull the upset over your Buckeyes?
Well, I'm not going to talk schematic. I'm going to talk between the ears.
Okay.
Because where Michigan is similar to where Ohio State was when John Cooper was let go. And I was a part of that program at John Cooper. I look at my legacy at Ohio State, and I take a lot of pride saying I was a part of drawing the line in the sand and saying no more. From my era at Ohio State, Jim Tressel's first couple of years, our teams turned and stemmed the tide,
right,
and now have started that run. But I was in those Ohio State locker rooms where doubt existed. And everybody talks about trap games and confidence and momentum, and it's so hard to quantify because I always dismiss a lot of those notions because I was there, and I practiced my butt off, and our coaches had a good scheme, and we had talented players. But when there is doubt in a program, and remember, I was a part of those Cooper teams that were 2-10-1 versus,
right,
Michigan, that doubt is like a fog in a locker room that you can't put your finger on. And then in a game, things just seem to happen that don't bounce your way. The ball bounces the wrong way. You make a boneheaded penalty at the worst possible time. And it's so hard. That's the task of Jim Harbaugh to try to figure out is how to change that trajectory. But for us, it was some key plays. It was some key players, guys like Will Smith and Craig Krenzel and Dustin Fox that said, "Hey, we're not gonna do this anymore." And you change the tide once. So I look at this Michigan team. They're dealing with that same doubt right now, and they are trying to fabricate a way to say, not us. They're trying to draw their line in the sand. And in a game that, from a national perspective, has really no implications other than it would make Ohio State a must-win for the Big Ten championship to get into the playoff, that is really what is at stake. Michigan is trying to draw their line in the sand, and no better way for them to do that than to find a way to get an upset against what many are considering now, myself included, maybe the most complete Ohio State program I've ever seen in my lifetime.
We're talking with Ben Hartsock, a former Buckeye. He's always a Buckeye. We've already been through this. And the Buckeyes moved to number one. This is a great team. There's no doubt about it. Do you think they deserved, you know, for whatever it's worth now, I mean, we still got a few weeks to decide where it ends up. Do you think they deserve to move ahead of LSU today?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is what's great about the college football playoff system, because I love the human element. I love the you've got to make a case. I love the system that the committee has to go through where you stack up your list. That we went through this on the Big Ten Channel just a couple days ago. You stack up your list of 25, and you've got to kind of make a case. And ultimately, when you're talking about LSU, you're going to make a point that they're battle-tested. But now with Ohio State, you look at a team that they've now been battle-tested against Wisconsin, against Penn State, and they are a more complete-looking team. Now, the flip side of that is LSU fans are going to say, well, yeah, but you haven't played Alabama at 3, Florida at 7, and Texas when they were ranked at 9, right? Like that. So there is a legitimate description or a legitimate argument for both teams to make a plot ploy for it, but really ultimately it's kind of a moot point. You're arguing over who will play against who in the semifinal, right? Like I don't like playing those games of you want to play Clemson in the first game or you want to play LSU in the first game. Once you get into the playoff and it's four teams, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Right.
If you can't win the semifinal, then you shouldn't make an argument for making it in the final.
It's a good point. You know, man, Ryan Day is a guy, one of the few Buckeye head coaches that's, you know, didn't grow up with the rivalry, right? He's a young guy. You know, obviously the Buckeyes had great success with him here previously with Urban, but it ended a little, you know, in a little bit of a questionable way with everything that happened at the end. And the job he's done this year to put it all back on track, you know, I say on track, that's exaggerating a little. I mean, the team was still really good. But the job he's done this year, I don't think, you know, we knew they'd be good, but I don't think anybody thought they'd be quite this good. How much credit does he deserve?
A huge amount. The reason why everyone or a lot of people were saying this is Michigan's year to win the Big Ten wasn't because Michigan was a better team. Honestly, last year's roster was more talented for Michigan, but Ohio State coming into this season was at a state of vulnerability that many people hadn't seen or wouldn't plan to see for the foreseeable future. You got to think, coming into the season, you've got Ryan Day, who's never been a head coach outside of the three when Urban was suspended last year. You've got a transfer quarterback who ultimately couldn't beat out Jake Fromm at Georgia, right? Highly touted, but couldn't. Any transfer inherently got beat out somewhere else, right? Like, we didn't know what Fields was going to be. He has to fill the shoes of Dwayne Haskins, who has the single greatest quarterback season in Buckeye history. You've got three new wide receivers, because the guys that replaced all went off to the NFL. Your tailback has gone to the NFL, and you lost the best defensive player you had in Nick Bosa. This Ohio State team was very much a question mark and had a lot of vulnerabilities coming into this season, and all they've done is put all of that to bed. A huge amount of credit is deserved by Ryan Day because of things like just the navigation of bringing Justin Fields in and the transferring out of Tate Martell. Those things never go smoothly, but that one went about as smoothly as you could. He also secured Zach Harrison, who we hope will be maybe the next Chase Young in the pipeline, right? Like landing a giant recruit like that. And then going through this season, every time I hear Ryan Day speak at a podium, I get more and more confirmation that he's the right guy, because my only hesitation with him was the university almost pitched Ryan Day as Urban Meyer light, you know, hey, same strength coach, same recruiting coordinator, same Urban Meyer system. It's just a different guy blowing the whistle. But to his credit, yes, he's kept a lot of those coaching philosophies of Urban Meyer, but he's doing it with his own thumbprint, his own style of leadership, and it's been really a breath of fresh air.
Ben, last thing, obviously you grew up in Ohio, and even though you didn't grow up in Cleveland, you know what football and the Browns mean to the people of Northeast Ohio and throughout the state of Ohio and the rest of the country, because there's a lot of, especially older fans, that are Browns fans around the country because of going back to the Jim Brown days. The Browns had a lot of expectations coming into the season. They got off to a terrible start. They're playing much better now. They're 5-6 with a chance to get to back to 500 against the Steelers. What do you think of this team and Baker Mayfield going forward?
Well, there are guys that can say things that you and I would say, and we'd end up fired or out on the street, right? Like there are guys that, like Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells could say things in the media that no one else could get away with. It's just kind of something about the way he said it. Rex Ryan was the same kind of way. He would pound his chest and make outlandish comments, and people just kind of laugh it off. But the Browns don't ever get that. The Browns, anything that happens in Cleveland is amplified to the nth degree. And whether it's Baker Mayfield saying something, the Myles Garrett thing obviously is a train wreck and got a ton of coverage, rightfully so, but the drama that happens on every NFL franchise is amplified in Cleveland for some reason. They're just that guy that can't get away with whatever he says, and that is difficult. Baker Mayfield makes it worse on himself because the demeanor with which he carries himself. So you've got to recognize that, but also you take the rabid nature of the Cleveland fan base and the fact that they are so desperate for relevance with their football team. There's just a sense of urgency that gets played out in such a just an explosive type of way. So winning games as an NFL franchise is difficult, but then having to do it with all of the theatrics and the drama and the knowing that anything that is said or missaid is going to be played out on a national stage is hard. And so they're, to their credit, they're figuring it out here at this point during the season. And if there's a good way to do it, this is the way to do it. You'd rather be doing it now than starting out strong and then finishing weak. So to their credit, listen, nobody denies the talent on their roster. The talent is absolutely there, but it's so rarely about talent when it comes to winning championships. It is a magical meshing. This is the art of team building that John Dorsey has to deal with Coach Kitchens and all of those things of marrying together the dynamics of ego and scheme and talent and to try to make a good team. And that's why when you get teams like franchises like the Patriots that have found this recipe that has worked for so long is really a spectacular thing, because to make it all work is far more art than science.
Ben, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining me.
Anytime. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You too. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.